பத்ரம் கர்ணே பஷ்ருனு யாமதேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யே மாக்ஷபரயஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுபாகம்சஸ்தனுபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. த்வாஸுபர்ணா சயுஜா சகாயா சமானம் வ்ருக்ஷம் பரிஷஸ்வஜாதே தயோரன்யப் பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னன்னன்யோ அபிசாகஷீதி. சமானே வ்ருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ அநீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமேஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானமிதி வீதஶோகஹ. யதா பஷ்யப் பஷ்யதே ருக்மவர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமேஷம் புருஷம் ப்ரஹ்மயோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி. பிராணோ ஹேஷய சர்வபூதைர் விபாதி விஜானன் வித்வான் பவதே நாதிவாதி. ஆத்ம க்ரீட ஆத்மரதிஹி க்ரியாவான் ஏஷ ப்ரஹ்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டஹ. ஆத்மக்ரீட ஆத்மரதிஹ் க்ரியாவான் ஆத்மக்ரீட ஆத்மரதிஹ் க்ரியாவான் ஏஷ ப்ரஹ்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டஹ. சத்யேன லப்யஸ்தபஸா ஹேஷ ஆத்மா சத்யேன லப்யஸ்தபஸா ஹேஷ ஆத்மா சம்யஜ்ஞானேன ப்ரஹ்மச்சரியேண நித்யம் அந்தஶரீரே ஜோதிர்மயோ ஹி சுப்ரஹ. யம் பஷ்யந்தி யதயஹ க்ஷீணதோஷாஹ அந்தஶரீரே ஜோதிர்மயோ ஹி சுப்ரஹ. யம் பஷ்யந்தி யதயஹ க்ஷீணதோஷாஹ சத்யமேவ ஜயதே நான்ருதம் சத்யேன பந்தா விததோ தேவயானஹ. ஏனாக்ரமந்தி ரிஷயோ ஹ்யாப்த காமாஹ ஏனாக்ரமந்தி ரிஷயோ ஹ்யாப்த காமாஹ யத்ர தத் சத்யஸ்ய பரமம் நிதானம் ப்ருஹச்ச தத் திவ்யமசிந்த்ய ரூபம் சூக்ஷ்மாச்ச தத் சூக்ஷ்மதரம் விபாதி. தூராத் சுதூரே ததிஹாந்திகேச பஷ்யந்த்விஹைவ நிஹிதம் குஹாயாம் ந சக்ஷுஷா க்ருஹ்யதேனாபி வாசா நான்யைர் தேவைஸ்தபஸா கர்மணா வா ஜ்ஞானப்ரஸாதேன விசுத்த ஸத்வஹ ததஸ்துதம் பஷ்யதே நிஷ்கலம் த்யாயமானஹ. ஏஷோனுராத்மா சேதசா வேதிதவ்யஹ ஏஷோனுராத்மா சேதசா வேதிதவ்யஹ யஸ்மின் ப்ராணஃ பஞ்சதா சம்விவேஷ ப்ராணைச்சித்தம் சர்வமோதம் ப்ரஜானாம் யஸ்மின் விசுத்தே விபவத்யேஷ ஆத்மா யம் யம் லோகம் மனசா சம்விபாதி விசுத்த ஸத்வஃ காமயதே யாம்ஸ்ச காமான் தம் தம் லோகம் ஜயதே தாம்ஸ்ச காமான் தஸ்மாத் ஆத்மஜ்ஞம் ஹ்யர்ச்சயேத் பூதி காமஹ. So we saw last class, பிராணோ ஹேஷய சர்வபூதைர் விபாதி விஜானன் வித்வான் பவதே நாதிவாதி. ஆத்மக்ரீட ஆத்மரதிஹ் க்ரியாவான் ஏஷ ப்ரஹ்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டஹ. We saw how a wise person ஏஷஹ பிரம்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டஹ. இஸ் வைஸ் பர்சன் ஹூ நோஸ், வித்வான் த வைஸ் பர்சன் விஜானன் நோயிங் தட் அப்சல்யூட் ரியாலிட்டி பிரம்மன், ஹூ பரமாத்மா, ஹூ பர்வேட்ஸ் எவ்ரிதிங், ஹூ அலோன் இஸ் தேர் அஸ் எவ்ரிதிங். And seeing himself being non-separate from the Paramatma, Ativadi na bhavati, and he becomes a person of few words, doesn't become Ativadi. Why? Because he becomes free from the pressure of having the need to talk. Why? Because he is Atma Kridaha. He is the one who entertains himself, being himself, and Atmarati, he revels in the vision of his own nature being fullness. Such a person, he is really a person of activities, in the sense he's a Kriyava, means he becomes a great contributor also. All his activities will be contributive for the wellness of the world, because he does not do anything for his happiness. He does everything remaining in happiness. As happiness, as happy person, such a person is the most exalted of all the wise people. This mantra we have already seen. You remember? We have already seen this mantra. See, this Atma Kridaha, Atma Ratihi. Just I want to throw light on those words before we go to next mantra. Atma Kridaha and Atma Ratihi. Almost same meaning. But what is the difference? See, a wise person knows very well there is no source of happiness other than the Atma. Okay, this is a big lesson for all those who are suffering in life. The fact is, Atma is the only source of happiness. Atma alone is of the nature of fullness. And Atma is the only source of, Atma being the only source of happiness, Atma is the only source of pleasure also. See, pleasure is, what is the difference between happiness, pleasure and joy? Pleasure is happiness, but happiness is not pleasure. Know that why? Pleasure is happiness, but happiness is not pleasure. Because it's like saying wave is ocean, but ocean is not the wave. Pleasure is manifestation of fraction of fullness. Whereas happiness is manifestation of fullness. Manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. Manifestation of fullness is happiness. And fullness, being full is the nature of the reality. Why? Because reality has to be, reality is of the nature of fullness. I always give this example. With reference to ocean, the truth, the reality is water. Why? Without the water, ocean cannot exist at all. Therefore, water being the truth of the ocean, there's no place in the ocean which is not filled by water. So being full is the, see, water fills the ocean, and being full is the nature of the water because it's the truth of the ocean. So being full is equal to what? Fullness. Similarly, with reference to this entire jagat, the abstract reality, consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, it is of the nature of fullness. And the expression of fullness is happiness. Expression of fraction of fullness is pleasure. Therefore, Atma Kridaha means wise person knows very well happiness. If a person wants happiness, the only means of having happiness is by discovering Atma being the only source of happiness. Other than, unless and until a person discovers Atma and claims Atma as one's real self, there's no way of being happy always, everywhere with everybody. That is why always recommended was Jnanam is the only means of attainment of happiness. That's what we've been teaching the whole, from right from kindergarten class, every class, this fact has been repeatedly reminded, repeatedly told. So, Atma is the only source of happiness. Therefore, Atma is the only source of pleasure also. So, because happiness is all pervasive, full anandaha is inside, anandaha is outside. And as Atma is the only source of fullness, Atma is of the nature of limitlessness, as Atma is the only source of happiness, anandaha. The enjoyment, okay, the Shastram divides enjoyment into two types of enjoyment, okay. Our Shastram says, there are two types of enjoyment, okay. Based on the fact that Atma is the only source of happiness, as Atma is the only source of, only sub nature of limitlessness, fullness, enjoyment is, there are two types of enjoyment. Suppose, if there is enjoyment of pleasures through the enjoyment of external objects, if there is enjoyment of pleasure through the enjoyment of external objects, it can be a live person, it can be non-living things, it can be company of wife, company of husband, company of children, or company, and even other enjoyment of other, watching television, etc., or reading books, etc. Enjoyment of any pleasure through and with the help of external objects, then that enjoyment of pleasure is called what? I mean, entertainment. The objects, external objects, keep you entertained, and it's called kreeda. So, enjoyment of pleasure through the enjoyment of external objects is called kreeda. So, jnani is atma kreedaha. He is not dependent on any external things for his entertainment, for his time-bound pleasures. Okay, one reason. And then, okay, I can repeat it again. If the enjoyment of pleasure is through the enjoyment of external objects or external resources, bahye bahihi vidyamanehi vastubihi jayamanaha anandaha. Bahihi vidyamanehi sadhanehi. Bahihi vidyamanehi sadhanehi jayamanaha tava janyaha anandaha krida. And without making use of any external objects, without making use of any external objects, and just being happy, being one's own self, is called Atmaratihi. If a person can, see, whenever you are just yourself, being yourself, you can be happy. Understanding the fact that I am the only source of happiness, Just being once, being happy, not without being dependent on anything external, just being happy, just being oneself is called what? It is Atmara. Atmaratihi. Atmaramanam. Atmane Ramanam. So, if external world of object is dependent for one's happiness, it is Krida. So, pleasure is called Krida. And the person who is not dependent on, when he is free from the external object for his happiness, then he is said to be what? He is said to have Atmaratihi. And for Jnani, his Atmaratihi, Atma Kridaha, means for him, Atma is the only source of all pleasures which he can enjoy with the help of other verses, other external things. And Atma is the only source of happiness also, fullness. So, the word Krida stands for pleasure, Rati stands for fullness. So, for Jnani, the Atma is the only source of fullness of happiness. Atma is the only source of fraction of happiness. There's no other source of happiness. And Jnani has what? Wise person has both types of Anand. Because for him, for a Jnani, there's no second thing other than Atma. The source of external, the pleasure enjoyable through the external objects also is Atma. And the internal source of happiness also is Atma for him. Atmaratihi, Atma Kridaha. The pleasure is called Vishayanandaha. And the happiness is called Atmanandaha. For a Jnani, everything is Atma. Okay, next mantra. Satyena labhyastapasahesha atma. I'm moving on to the next mantra, new mantra now. Satyena labhyastapasahesha atma. Samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam. Antasharire jyotirmayo hi shubhraha yam pashyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha satyena labhyastapasahesha atma samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam antasharire jyotirmayo hi shubhraha yam pashyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha satyena labhyas tapasahesha atma samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam antasharire jyotirmayo hi shubhraha yam pashyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha satyena labhyas tapasahesha atma samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam antasharire jyotirmayo hi shubhraha yam pashyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha. See, the self knowledge is atmajnanam. And the benefit of, the benefit enjoyable, benefit of self-knowledge is Atma-jnana palam. These are the two topics discussed in the previous mantras. It's a fifth mantra. Okay. So, the rishi, the sage Angiras discussed two topics. The self-knowledge, the topic of self-knowledge and the benefit of self-knowledge in the four mantras, the previous four mantras. Now, from this mantra onwards, in a few mantras, again, Acharya is going to discuss the topic of Atmajnanam, but without the topic, without including the benefit of self-knowledge. In the following verses also, the following mantras also, the teacher is going to discuss the same topic of Atmajnanam and the means of accomplishing the self-knowledge. The self-knowledge and the means, not the benefit. In the following mantras, this Rishi is going to discuss the means of accomplishing this self-knowledge. The means means what? You can say Atmajnana Sadhanani. I mean the disciplines one has to strictly follow in order to become eligible, in order to be able to attain this self-knowledge. In the following mantras. So it's very important, because we need to know what those disciplines are and how we can follow those disciplines. Okay. And whenever the topic of disciplines to be followed for attaining self-knowledge, there are three disciplines emphatically presented by the Shastra. And what are they? You know very well. Living a life of karma yoga. There's no choice. People want to know, is any other choice? No. Living a life of karma yoga. Karma yoga itself is a way of life. Strictly following the living a life of karma yoga is itself living a disciplined life. It is a very important discipline. In order to have adequate mental purification and mental steadiness. If by following the discipline of karma yoga, by living a life of karma yoga, your person can have relative mastery over his mind and sense organs. If a person can have, the person can have mental relative mental purification and mental steadiness, a person can be relatively peaceful also. Because living in karma yoga itself is a life having one's life filled with Bhagavan. Living a life of karma yoga is nothing but having one's life filled with Bhagavan. Why? Because there's no fraction of second Bhagavan is not remembered. Bhagavan is not brought into the picture. Because every small thing you do, you're conscious, you're living this life ultimately for discovering freedom, moksha, which is already there as your own sorupam. Living consciously of one's ultimate end being moksha, and which is something to be discovered itself, is what? Living one's life for discovering Bhagavan. Therefore, anything and everything you do becomes naturally offered to Bhagavan. So, performing everything with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan, everything is performed with Ishwarpana Buddhi. And everything, whatever comes in life also is amazingly received as gift from Bhagavan, the Prasada Buddhi. Therefore, everything is accepted also with the sameness of mind. And there is a mental equanimity maintained only in living a life of Karma Yoga. Therefore, and it's an amazing, so living a life of Karma Yoga itself is a discipline. Great discipline. And one must have Ishra Arpana Buddhi. One must have Ishra Prasada Buddhi. Buddhi means attitude here. So having the attitude of offering one's actions to Bhagavan. And having the attitude of receiving everything which comes in life as Bhagavan's prasada, gift from Bhagavan. Once that attitude is there, prasada buddhi is there, without rejecting, negating, complaining, brooding, lamenting, accepting is with sameness of mind, knowing the limitations that all situations come and go, nothing is permanent, is a prasada buddhi. So one can remain without elation and dejection, one can remain balanced if there is a prasada buddhi. So mental equanimity, samatvam is possible only if there is a prasada buddhi. If prasada buddhi is not there, it is not possible to remain balanced. It is not possible to remain equanimous without elation, without dejection. Therefore, if a person has to make one's own understanding, is it possible for me to have these attitudes? Do I have Ishwarpana Buddhihi? Do I have Prasada Buddhihi? If one has to know, if one has to discover, first of all, I must have Ishwarpana Buddhihi, and I must have Ishwara Prasada Buddhihi. Then if I have these attitudes, my life, I'm also committed to live a life of dharma, and I'm a karma yogi, I live a life of karma yoga. But to know whether a person has this attitude, proper attitude in doing activities, okay? If you have Ishwarpana Buddhihi, if it's not simply saying, I entertain the attitude of offering all my activities to Bhagavan, no. How do you know whether you have Ishwarpana Buddhihi or not? Shastra says, if a person performs activities without being anxious of the result, okay, if a person can perform all his activities, all his duties, without being anxious of the result, then the person has Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. So performing one's actions without being anxious, without anxiety, is the clue, okay, is the sign of having Ishwararpana Buddhihi. Similarly, how can we understand this prasada buddhihi? One has prasada buddhihi. So the prasada buddhihi, the attitude of person, having an attitude of prasada, being able to look at everything as prasada in life also, how can you understand whether you have prasada buddhi or not? That can be understood also. See, whenever the results, whatever results comes in life, success comes, failure comes, loss comes, gain comes, whatever results come. If there is no elation, if there is no dejection, if there is no frustration, if there is no disappointment, then there is prasada buddhihi. So, performing actions, being free from anxiety, indicates Ishwararpana buddhihi. And not having any frustration, not being frustrated and disappointed. When a person receives any undesirable result, when a person goes to the undesirable situation, is the hint, clue to know one has prasada buddhihi. And this is what is said to be living a life of karma yoga. And Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads only mention about the Karma Yoga, but Upanishads do not teach what Karma Yoga is. Upanishads do mention one must live a life of Karma Yoga to have mental purification and mental steadiness, thereby to become qualified for attaining the Jnanam. But Bhagavad Gita alone teaches what is Karma Yoga, how one can live a life of Karma Yoga. That's why Bhagavad Gita is important to, you see, the discipline is mentioned in the Upanishads, but Bhagavad Gita teaches what that discipline is. Okay. And this is one, living a life of Karma Yoga is a discipline number one, important discipline. Then second discipline prescribed by the Shastram as a means of attainment of knowledge, as a means of mental preparation required for the attainment of Jnanam, is the discipline of meditation, Upasanam. And what is Upasanam? One must consciously sparing some time, consciously sparing one's time, not the whole day, consciously sparing some quality time in order to channelize one's own thoughts in any field of one's own choice. It's very important for anyone to sit and channelize one's thoughts in any field of one's own choice. And one has to spend some quality time for channelizing one's thoughts in one's any field, in one's own field, one's own choice of one's own field. So this meditation, Upasanam, need not be a huge, big meditation or anything. Meditation can be, even Puja Swamiji used to teach. That's why, not a Puja Swamiji, any Acharya, the traditional teachers, if you approach, the first thing they give you is mantra. Why? Because mantra japa, when the teacher initiates, any student approaches his teacher to begin his spiritual sadhanas, the first thing they will give mantra, initiate the person to a mantra. So mantra means not some meaningless mantras or not some bija mantras. Not. It's the simple mantra. The teacher will teach a simple mantra, and that mantra, the mantra japa, you may begin to do orally, but actually if you do that mantra japa mentally, it becomes a manasa japaha. Repetition of repeated utterance of a mantra. It can be simple mantra like Om Namah Shivaya. The simple small mantra, but greatest mantra also. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. Om Ganganapataye Namaha. Like any of these mantras. Any one of the mantras, in keeping, you know, water is Ishta Devata, pertinent Ishta Devata mantra, also no, only one mantra. If a person learns to practice this japa, repeated utterance is japa, so repeated utterance of a mantra mentally is becomes what? Manasa japaha. So manasa japaha is also said to be manasa parayanam. Mentally, if you can recite Vishnu Sahasranama mentally without moving your tongue, it becomes a meditation. If you can do your japa mentally, if you repeat one mantra mentally, it becomes a manasa japaha. So we always scream, we chant aloud. That's okay. That's good because that's the only way you can keep a control. But as a mature individual, one must learn to do japa mentally without even moving one's tongue. Then it becomes what? It becomes a pre-preparation for contemplation. It becomes a meditation. People ask, what should I meditate on? Should I see the form? Should I see this fruit? Should I see this any given form of Devi or Subramanya Swami? No, any japa is enough. Just repeating a mantra mentally, it's also is a upasanam. So it's very important for anyone to exercise one's mind. Very important to exercise one's mind to place the mind in a given field. In a given field, at least for a given period of time. Without being preoccupied. It's very important for anyone and everyone to exercise one's mind, to place the mind in a given field for a given period of time without being preoccupied and without any preoccupation. Therefore, having a calm, serene, you see, if you are not preoccupied, means you can be calm. So being unpreoccupied mentally, in fact, is having a calm mind and doing one's duty, performing one's duty, anything one has to, performing any important work that one has to do. Having the mind which is free from preoccupation, performing one's duty or performing anything one chooses to do without being preoccupied mentally becomes also what? Practicing a discipline of meditation. And such manasa japaha becomes what is known as saguna brahma dhyanam, manasa japaha, or it is practicing meditation upon any given form with some attributes. It's called saguna brahma upasanam or saguna ishvara dhyanam. So karma yogaha is a discipline which contributes for mental purification, and meditation is a discipline very important which contributes for mental steadiness. Antahkarna shuddhi and antahkarna naischalyam. These two disciplines are specifically for mental purification and mental steadiness. That is why we also call this, any worship we do also is said to be upasanam. When we do even physically when you perform a puja also, the mind is free from preoccupation. Without any mental preoccupation, the person can perform a puja with the focused attention. In a chanting, you do arati, always mind is preoccupied. Without mental preoccupation, if the puja is done, arati is done, naivedyam is done, then that becomes meditation. That's why it's called upasanam. Worship also is called upasanam. If becomes upasanam, if the puja is done without any mental preoccupation, but always people do mechanically. Mind is so preoccupied. Okay, now another important discipline Shastram prescribes is the following the morality. Shastram emphasizes the importance of following moral values. See, without following moral values, one's discipline of karma yoga and upasana yoga will be meaningless. See, karma yoga, people do follow the discipline of karma yoga. People do follow the discipline of upasana, meditation. But do all people really place attention to this moral values? Very important, which is lacking everywhere. In fact, Shastram emphatically says that it's emphasizes the practice of moral values. And in fact, if you ask me what are those moral values, we're going to see here, but to have clean, clear idea, the 20 values prescribed and discussed in Kshetra Kshetrajna Yoga of 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, Pujya Swamiji has brought out a book specifically Value of Values. A book on value of values. Very beautiful book. I request all of you to go through that book. In fact, we must discuss those values in the class. 20 values are discussed in that book. Swamiji has taken those 20 values of 13th chapter and has discussed those values in that book. The chapter called Kshetra Kshetrajna Yoga, 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavan Krishna himself enumerates those 20 values and he calls all the values together by using one word, jnanam. He says, jnanam. He calls all those values together as jnanam. Why? Because it's very important to follow those values in order to become eligible to attain the jnanam. I mean, to enjoy the benefit of jnanam also. And also, the 26 values, 26 values are also presented as Daivi Sampath, Daivi Sampath, divine wealth in Daivasura Sampath, in the 16th chapter with the title Daivasura Sampath Vibhaga Yoga. And that Bhagavan also discusses Asuri Sampath so that one can understand how one must develop those values. Because following values implies being very, very alert in one's life. It's important for anyone to place attention on one's values, to watch one's values, and to inculcate values, to improve them. Thereby, one can become a person of mental refinement. Following this value strictly is ultimately for one's mental refinement. Okay. And here in this mantra also, which we have read now, Upanishad focuses on some important values. Look at this. Satyena labhyastapasa hyesha atma samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam antasharire jyotirmayohi shubhraha yam pashyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha. First he says, the mantra, if you see, satyena labhyaha, satyam, satyena labhyaha, esha atma tapasa satyena eshaha atma labhyaha. Means what? This atma can be accomplished. Means what? Atma can be discovered. Attaining atma is nothing but discovering atma. So claiming, one can claim atma as oneself. One can discover atma. One can just be one's own self only if a person strictly lives, follows these values. Atma labhyaha. Atma can be, atma is available, atma can be attained in terms of knowledge. So here the satyam. Of course, it's always satyam vada dharmam chara. No, swadhyaya anma pramadaha. Like that, it is taught in even Taittiriya Upanishad. No, satyam means satyam, the truthfulness in speech. So the it's a vak tapas. Vak tapas means a discipline in terms of speech. One has to strictly follow the discipline in terms of speech. So Upanishad says what? No. Yeshaha atma sathi satyena labhyaha. Yeshaha hi atma tapasa labhyaha. And Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada, when he, in his commentary also, he emphasizes this value of truthfulness in speech. So speaking the truth does not mean you must speak all the truths. If a person opens one's mouth and speaks, he must speak the truth. He should not tell a lie. But that doesn't mean you must speak all the truths. All the truths should not be, need not be spoken at all. But whatever you speak must be the truth. And second thing, the truth that you speak also should not be hurtful. Therefore, what is spoken must be the truth, and the truth must be non-hurting truth. If the truth will hurt another person, better not speak the truth also. That's why one need not speak all the truths. Whatever one speaks must be the truth. And the truth one speaks also should not hurt. Should not hurt other person's feelings. Should not hurt other person. So satyam bruyat priyam bruyat. Na bruyat satyam apriyam. Satyam bruyat, one must speak the truth. Priyam bruyat, whatever you speak must be pleasing and pleasant. Whatever you speak must be pleasant, but it should not be a lie. It should be the truth. At the same time, you should not speak the truth which is apriyam, which hurts. Whatever you speak must be pleasing. It should be a truth. It should not be hurtful. Should not hurt the feelings of other person. So, if this truth spoken, okay, the truth spoken, suppose hurts a person, then still that truth is not, Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada makes it very clear in his commentary. You must speak the truth, that's that the truth doesn't hurt other person. You must speak the truth. You must be, whatever you speak must be pleasing to other person. At the same time, it should not be a lie. So, Shankaracharya writes, Anruta Varjanam Satyam. Anruta Varjanam Satyam. Avoidance of falsehood. Avoidance of falsehood is Satyam. So speaking the truth, this one has to remember. Because a karma yogi must strictly follow these values. Only then, that is why One of the important thing is having these two attitudes with the commitment to live a life of universal values alone make converts one's life into life of karma yoga. So, satyam. Sometimes very difficult to maintain this discipline of satyam. We do, you know, unavoidably, sometimes we happen to tell some lies. And in fact, one must make all possible efforts to avoid such unavoidably, inevitably, you know, spoken untruths, false things, and lies. Okay, sakahatyam is given importance here. So, in the context, wherever in keeping with the need of the hour, one must follow these values thoughtfully. Okay, the tapas, tapasa labhyaha. The next discipline is tapas. After satyam, upanishad. Hi eshaha atma satyena labhyaha eshaha atma tapasa labhyaha. Tapas also, you can say, there are two types of tapas. And then this tapas is actually discussed in the Karma Kanda portion of the Veda also. See, performing one's duties or performing on the, even the rituals. There are, if we take the Karma Kanda portion of the Veda Shastram, there are many, many rituals are prescribed for accomplishing different time-bound ends. Arthakama dharmas. And even performing those rituals, strictly following the disciplines, also is said to be tapas. The person is, okay, suppose if a person strictly follows fasting, is called tapas. A person, you know, sometimes, you know, people fast for 6 days, you know, during Shashti Vratam after Deepavali until Surya Samharam, they fast for 6 days, they don't eat anything. 6 days they fast. Amazing. 6 days without eating anything, people fast. This is tapas. Because it involves physical tapas. Kaikam tapas. Okay? It's called kaikam tapas, physical tapas. And people walk to Palani temple without wearing shoes. And they carry also pots and things like that, kavadi. They carry some heavy things. They walk without shoes. Whole day they'll rest. The hot sun, the sun is very, when the day is very hot, they'll rest somewhere. Again, then evenings they'll start walking, the whole night they'll walk. They walk for, no, many from the people come from very far off distance. From Chennai, they come walking to Payani. From Kerala, they come walking to Payani. Means what I'm saying, it's a tapas. It's a physical kaikam tapas. And they're supposed to sleep on the bare. No, they'll sleep on bare floor. They won't even. They walk barefoot, they sleep and also just the floor. They sleep on some leaves sometimes. Anyway, what I'm saying, it's all tapas, kaikam tapas. So avoiding consciously, thoughtfully, I mean avoid some physical comforts. This is called kaikam tapas. This is the tapas discussed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda Shastra. Kaikam Tapas. And the physical tapas, this Kaikam Tapas, discussed in the Karma Kanda. But in the Jnana Kanda of the Veda Shastram, physical tapas is not given importance. The physical tapas, I mean Kaikam Tapas or physical penance or Kaikam Tapas is not given importance in Jnana Kanda. It is the Manasam Tapaha. Manasam Tapas, mental penance, mental austerity is said to be a discipline. It is disciplined by itself. And this is given importance. Why? Because why mental discipline is important? Mental austerity, mental penance is important. Given important Jnana Kanda because Jnanam has to rise in the mind. Knowledge has to rise in the mind only. Therefore, knowledge has to happen in the mind. Therefore, Manasam Tapas is given importance in the Jnana Kanda portion of the Veda Shastram. What is tapas? What is tapas? Shastram is beautiful definition is given. Manasaha cha indriyanam cha aikagryam paramam tapaha. Manasaha indriyanam cha manasascha indriyanam cha. I'm repeating it, sir. The definition of tapas given in the Jnana Kanda portion of the Veda Shastram is manasascha indriyanam cha aikagryam paramam tapaha. Manasaha cha indriyanam cha aikagryam paramam tapaha. Paramam tapaha means the exalted form of tapas is exalted form of tapas is nothing but enjoying, having an intense focus without any mental distraction. Intense focus, a distraction free intense focus. There's no greater tapas than having distraction free intense attention, intense focus. If a person is capable of focusing his attention on a given thing, in a given field, for a length of time, it is said to be tapas. Oh, this person is capable of focusing his attention for a length of time on a given thing, in a given field, for length of, means it is tapas. And therefore, Shravanam is a tapas. Such a tapas, being able to focus one's attention without any distraction for a length of time itself is tapas. And that tapas, such a tapas, tapas in the form of being able to focus with any distraction for length of time is important qualification required for listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram. Even now, you all have the tapas. Otherwise, you won't be able to listen. You get restless. So, here, the tapas is important. Such a tapas. The capacity to focus on a given thing for length of time is a tapas in the according to the Jnana Kanda. And that tapas is very important as a prerequisite qualification for people who are given to the discipline of Shravanam, listening to the subject matter of the Shastram. So distraction-free, focused attention is tapas. Being able to focus without any distraction is tapas. And if a person has to have such distraction-free, focused attention, if a person must have such tapas in terms of being able to focus without any distraction, then the person must have disciplined sense organs also. The sense organs are not disciplined, then it is difficult to have such tapas. Okay? Distraction-free attention also is important. Because sensory discipline is not there, then it is not possible to have one distraction-free attention. That is why it is said, in manasaha cha indriyanam cha aikagriyam paramam tapaha. Shastram says, yeshaha atma tapasa labhyaha. That is said. Okay, now, the other value, the discipline is brahmacharyam. You can see the mantra again. Brahmacharyena satyena labhyastapasahesha atma samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam. So, that word tapas implies having mastery over one's mind and sense organs. Having shamaha and damaha. Having shamaha and damaha. Having mastery over one's mind and sense organs together is said to be what? Tapas. Now, the next is samyajnanena. Next is brahmacharyena nityam. Brahmacharyena. Brahmacharyam is a value present in the second line of the mantra. So brahmacharyam means, the word brahmacharyam literally means brahmani charanam brahmacharyam. The word brahma means Veda Shastram. Okay, brahmacharyam means being a student. Following the discipline of being a student is also called brahmacharyam. Brahma means Veda Shastram. And brahmani charati, the one whose mind has only the Veda mantras, the one whose focus only in Veda Shastram, he is said to be a brahmachari. That is the brahmacharyam literal meaning. But here, brahmacharyam here implies strictly observing the sexual morality. Strictly observing the sexual morality is brahmacharyam. So, the morality one has to strictly follow regarding sexuality is brahmacharyam. Again, this brahmacharya also is specifically for depending upon the ashramaha. And next one is samyak jnanam is also discipline here, is a value here. Samyak jnanam means how one should attain jnanam, one should work for attainment of jnanam. One must go through the disciplines in proper order. One must go to the discipline of shravanam, then one must be given to the discipline of mananam, then one must go to the discipline of nididhyasanam. So samyak jnanam implies being given to the discipline of pursuit of jnanam, being given to the discipline of Jnana Yogaha, pursuit of Jnanam is called Samyak Jnanam. And being given the discipline of Jnana Yogaha means what? Following the Jnana Yogaha implies going through these three steps involved. Discipline of Jnana Yoga involving three steps, Shravanam, Mananam and Nidhyasanam. Okay. So Satyam, speaking the truth, following the discipline of Satyam. So following the value of Satyam means speaking the truth, not telling lies, and speaking only the truth which is relevant and which is non-hurtful. That is following discipline of Satyam. So following the value of Satyam. So following the value of Satyam is contributive for the attainment of Jnanam. Tapas also is highly contributive for the attainment of Jnanam. Brahmacharyam also contributes for the preparation required for the attainment of Jnanam. So Satyam, Tapaha, Brahmacharyam, all these three values are said to be supportive, contributive values. Supportive, contributory values. Contributive values which play the contributory roles. All those values are very important. But it is not enough. For Jnanam, the most important is the enquiry into the subject matter of the Upanishads. Enquiry into subject matter of the Upanishads is most important value, most important discipline, which is otherwise said to be Upanishad Vishaya Vicharaha or Vedanta Vicharaha. Upanishad Vishaya Vicharaha or Vedanta Vicharaha is important discipline value. It is not enough if a person remains ethical, highly ethical. It is very important for one to be ethical, to enter into Vedanta Vichara, to enjoy the benefit of Vedanta Vichara. Without being ethical, without being moral, it's not possible for one to become spiritual. So even if a person is ethically very great and religiously very great, very worshipful, prayerful, going to temple, perfect, a person is morally also extremely good. But if a person remains spiritually ignorant, then it is of no use. In fact, it's all for sorting out the problem of spiritual ignorance alone. One has to be choicelessly, morally strong, ethically also strong. One must be religiously also good. So one must be religious, ethical and morally strong in order to become spiritually wise. So in order to spiritual ignorance can be resolved only if a person is given to the discipline of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. So Samyak Jnanam. Okay. One must be choicelessly, morally good. But that is not enough. Being highly, compassionate, being generous, being truthful, that's not enough. It must culminate in the vision of the truth. Therefore, one must be given the discipline of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. So, what Shankara Bhagavatpada says, see, knowing what the values are is said to be Satyam. And following the values in life strictly is called Ritam. Knowing the values is Ritam and following the values is Satyam. Another meaning also is given. Ritam and Satyam both mean the same. Ritam also means truth. Satyam also means truth. So, If I know I should speak the truth, this is knowledge of the value is called Ritam. And living that value in day-to-day life is called a Satyam. When two words are used together, Satyam and Jnanam, there the word Satyam means not it's not simply enough if I know what the values are. I must strictly follow the values. Only then there is Satyam. So Nitsatyena Tapasa means what? Satyena. I must know the values. I must strictly follow the values. Thereby, I can attain Jnanam. That's the meaning given. So, if a person follows these values, then if a person also is given to the discipline of inquiry into the nature of the self, that person becomes what? He becomes free from all sins. He becomes free from all impurities. He becomes free from all impurities. And the person who is free from all impurities is said to be what? Kshina doshaha. Antasharire jyotirmayohi shubraha. Yam pasyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha. Kshina doshaha. So if a person follows these disciplines, if he follows sat, if he strictly follows the, if he knows the values, then he strictly follows the values. He follows tapas. Then if samyak jnanena, if he goes to the discipline of shravana manam idhyasanam, by following the first the discipline, satyam, tapas, etc., the person becomes kshina doshaha. Becomes free from all impurities. Once he becomes free from all impurities as a pure-minded person, being given to the discipline of Savanam Manam Nidhyasnam also, for him, definitely, Jyotirmayaha hi Shubraha Atma Antasharide. Such pure-minded people, Kshina Doshaha, pure-minded people, Yatayaha, people of strict disciplines. Yatayaha means the people are strict disciplines, highly disciplined renunciates. Pure-minded people, they antasharire pashyanti, they see in their mind. Antasharire means in their mind they see. What do they see? Jyotirmayaha shubraha atma. So in their mind there is always atma, the absolute reality, all-pervasive reality is always in the form of pure knowledge. Jyotirmayaha means is in the form of light of consciousness. Jyotirmayaha shubhraha, pure consciousness is always there. The reality is in the form of pure light of consciousness. And kshina doshaha pasyanti, yam pasyanti. They recognize, they discover the reality in the form of pure light of consciousness in their own minds. Kshina doshaha pasyanti. So pasyanti, that stands for jnanam. Other words, other things, satyam, satyena labhyaha, etc. stand for disciplines required for jnanam. So atma jnanam, atma jnana sadhanani, all are discussed in this month, in these mantras. Following mantras, here we saw satyena labhyaha, tapasa, they're all disciplines to be followed, values to be followed for preparing one's mind for the attainment of jnanam. The means of attainment of jnanam. Then jnanam. అంతఃశరీరే జ్యోతిహి జ్యోతిర్మయః హి శుభ్రః. అంతఃశరీరే ఇన్ ది మైండ్ జ్యోతిర్మయః ది లైట్ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇన్ ది ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ లైట్ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ది ట్రూత్ ఈస్ అవైలబుల్ విచ్ ఇస్ ప్యూర్ అండ్ యతయః క్షీణదోషాః పశ్యంతి యం పశ్యంతి. People who strictly follow those values, they become mentally adequately pure. They become free from impurities. Kshina doshaha. They become free from all forms of impurities. Kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, mohaha, madaha, matsaryam. All ragadveshas. Become free from all impurities. And thereby, they don't need to go anywhere else. Antasharire, in their own mind, they discover pashyanti. They discover the truth. In the form of what? In the form of light of consciousness. Pure consciousness. Okay. Now, who the wise people are said to be here? Yatayaha. Yatayaha means, see, yatihi means a person of adequate, appropriate effort. Because yatate means makes efforts. Prayatate, yatate. Yatnam karoti iti yatihi. Yatnam karoti iti yatihi. Prayatnam karoti iti yatihi. Yatate iti yatihi. So, the one who makes efforts is called yatihi. A sannyasi is yatihi, a karmayogi is also yatihi. The person of appropriate, adequate efforts is called yatihi. And yatayaha means plural word. So these people who are of adequate, appropriate efforts, yatayaha, and they discover the truth. So yatayaha implies sannyasinaha. So, sannyasi does not mean, sannyasi should not mistake only for a person who wears a saffron robe. Sannyasi is the one who is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam and moksha is called sannyasi. Sannyasi need not be the one who wears saffron robes alone. Of course, the person who wears saffron robes is sannyasi. Only if he is committed to the pursuit, only to the pursuit of jnanam and moksha. The person is interested in other things and he is not sannyasi. Therefore, sannyasaha in fact stands for commitment to the pursuit of jnanam and moksha. Jnanam for moksha. Therefore, sannyasinaha, yatayaha means sannyasinaha. Sannyasinaha means those who are totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam. It can be anybody. Whoever is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, knowing the value of jnanam, totally committed to the pursuit of moksha, are all sannyasinaha. If there's a commitment, total commitment is there, then there's a sannyasa. Whether a person wears saffron robe or not, if you are totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam for moksha, you are a sannyasi. Whether you wear saffron robe or not. And sannyasinaha must be people of appropriate, adequate efforts. Yatayaha. And people of adequate, appropriate efforts means what? Those who strictly follow these values, they follow the tapas, they follow the satyam, truth, the value of satyam. They follow the value of the discipline of tapas. And they are definitely given to the samyak jnanam, the discipline of jnana yogaha. They must be given to the discipline of going through this jnana yoga involving three steps, shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. So if a person who is going through discipline of karma yoga is also yatihi. Because he's a person of appropriate, adequate efforts. because he knows he has to prepare his mind for the attainment of jnanam. And the person who practices upasanam, he is yatihi, because he knows the value of the makes appropriate effort. So a person of appropriate, adequate efforts is called yatihi. The plural word is yatayaha. And sannyasinaha. Simply wearing a saffron robe, a person is not a yatihi. He does not make appropriate, adequate efforts. And if his ultimate goal is not moksha or jnanam, then we cannot call him yatihi. Then such people alone finally discover the reality, absolute reality, all pervasive reality, the Atma, where in their own mind, antasharire pashyanti. Antasharire jagatkaranam brahma pashyanti. They discover the absolute truth of the entire universe, obtaining as their own innermost essence. They discover the Atma, antasharire, their own mind they discover. And they discover in what form? In the form of the Atma is in the form of the light of Atma, nothing but the light of consciousness, which is absolutely pure, free from all blemishes, all impurities. They discover that Atma. And here, Atma is also always implied with the term Jyotihi, light. Because any light which illumines the objects, pervades the illumined objects. The light which illumines the opaque things, pervades the illumined objects. Similarly here, Atma also is the absolute light which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which pervades everything. And this Atma is what? This Atma is a word implying the nature of reality being. Atma is a word implying the all pervasiveness of the reality. Therefore, Atma is one. Atma is this pure consciousness, is one which is free from all changes, which is free from, is absolutely untainted, and that Atma, all pervasive, all illumining, all pervasive, untainted reality, Atma, they discover. This is the benefit of jnanam, which I'll continue in the next class. Satyena labhyastapasa hyesha atma samyajnanena brahmacharyena nityam antasharire jyotirmayo hi shubhraha yam pashyanti yatayaha kshina doshaha. Okay, I'll stop here. We have beautiful mantras following. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.